Turn with me to Hebrews 12. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Beginning back in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 35, and coming all the way through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I said Romans, but I meant Hebrews, starting in Hebrews 10:35 and all the way through. Now, I won't read that, but basically what that record in Scriptures sets forth is the efficacy. That word means the power to produce the intended results. It proves the efficacy. The efficacious work of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep His people, to cause them by His grace and mercy to do that which He commands, to endure that which He appoints, and to obtain what He's promised they shall have. The witnesses. The writer to the Hebrews starts off saying, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I've read where some have said that that's angels. That's different, you know, things, men that watch us. And I'm sure that those things are so. I know that there are ministering spirits. I know. From the Lord to minister to the heirs of promise. I know that. But the witnesses that he's talking about are these men and women, starting in chapter 10, verse 35, and coming all the way through in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Just looking in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Through faith, verse 11, Sarah herself received strength. And Scripture says, verse 13, all of these, they died in the faith. By faith. Faith is the evidence of life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this life of faith is intensely practical. We talk about, or men talk about, blind faith. Blind faith. According to Scripture, faith is evidence of things that's not seen. Verse 1 of chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith grasped hold of Christ. It beholds Him by faith. Seeing those things, the Scripture is talking about in these witnesses. We're compassed about, verse 1 of chapter 12, with a great cloud of witnesses. The writer is saying, there has been those that have gone before us and are alive today, and we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. By faith, we behold them. We see them. Almighty God, by His power and grace and mercy, kept some folks. And by faith, they did, the Scripture says, what they did. By faith. By faith. I know that people look and they say, well, I tell you, I realize that I'm doing this, that, and the other. I'm coming because I want to come. By faith, a believer does what he does. By faith. Let us, the writer says, in that last part of that first verse, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, these all died in the faith. By faith. Adam, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, this one, by faith. Let us run, therefore, with patience, the race that's set before us. The life of a believer is referred to as a race. When I was in high school, I ran cross-country races. Cross-country. That meant that it could be anywhere from 2.5 to 4 miles. Cross-country, just depends on what it was. It was a race. And it had something to do with continuance. I mean, starting off was one thing, but there was a finish line that you were aiming at. So a race has got something to do with continual. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It's a race of obedience. A believer is in a race. Now, perish the thought that a believer is not in a race. The writer says, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. It's a race that begins at the new birth and doesn't end till we're summoned to leave this world. It's a race. If you know Him, you're in a race. And this race, the Scripture said, is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Marked out by God's providence, God's purpose, to bring His own unto Himself. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's a race. We race, we run with patience. And that word, patience, has got not so much to do with speed as it does with endurance. Let us run the race that's set before us. They that endure to the end shall be saved. Tell you this, they that endure to the end are kept by the power of God unto salvation. That's why they run. Now, we refer to this life as a believer in whatever way we can, you know, relating our words. The Scripture refers to it, Gary, as a race. It's a race. It has to do with continuance. It has to do with obedience. It has to do with endurance. When we run, we've got a goal in mind. What's the goal of a believer? It is that perfect conformity to the image of His Lord. Be like Him. See Him as He is. What a goal. But in this race, we're given some instruction Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those that we read about just a moment ago, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, I looked up where he's talking about let us lay aside that weight. And what he's talking about is things that we would have or maintain or keep or hold on to that would just be a hindrance to us. Let us lay aside every weight. The word weight means something that we are at liberty to cast aside but choose to retain. Something that we're just bound and determined, I'm going to hold on to. You know, it's wise to know something about yourself. Wise to know something about your foes and to guard against both. It's wise to know something about your own weakness and to know something of those that oppose you. Lay it aside. Put off. Paul says, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Someone offends you. Someone says something and kind of rubs you the wrong way. You're just bound and determined. I'm just not going to let it go. They've offended me. These things ought not be. It's weight. It's lay aside every weight. Something that you're bound and determined you're going to hold on to. The sign of life is that certain things that didn't bother me before now do. Things that are offensive. Offensive to my Lord. Offensive to His people. Hindrances. Weight. Someone says, well, give me an example. I don't have to. Every man, every woman got some things. We just by nature, we are just prone to have things that we're just going to hold on to. And I'm not going to let it go. Well, time will tell. The Spirit of God has created a new man in the image of Christ. New principles, new desires, new attitudes. And a believer hates the old man of the flesh and strives continually to put him off. And he'll strive till he leaves this world. Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Now let me just start. Verse 7, Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found, verse 9, in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let me ask you something. Things that are weights to us. I'll just throw something out here. Envy. Envy. Resentment. Just jealousness. Jealous. You see what I'm saying? Paul says, put them off. We're in a race. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Consider these that the Scripture says, by faith, Noah, he moved with fear. God told him, this is the way it's going to be. By faith, Abraham, when told to go into another country, he left. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Moses would not stay in Egypt. Oh, but you don't understand, preacher. I got stuff that I got to... I got stuff. I got things and mess. I don't mind going, you know, as far as I feel I need to. Had a fellow when I was in Tennessee. I said something that offended him. And I went to him and I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to apologize to you. And he said, well, I that's fine, I'll accept it, but I'm not coming back anymore. He said, I believe what you're saying, but I'm not coming back. I said, well, then why don't you go there and worship Donnie Bell? Well, I can't do that. I got a big business here I got to take care of. I just don't have time. A believer is in a race. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside worldly cares, worldly companions, worldly involvements that take our interest and our concern from Christ. A believer will. This is a work that is wrought within us by the Spirit of God, but it's a work, and it's a daily work. We strive daily. Every sin is a weight to the believer. The body of sin is a sore burden and is therefore to be put off. David, when he was a young boy, there was a giant. His name was Goliath. And David went into the camp, and Goliath had stood up and he just taunted the people of God, the nation of Israel, the army of the Israelites. Send out a man, he said, and let him take me on. If he beats me, our army will come to you. If I beat him, your army will come to me. David comes in and asks this question. Who is this uncircumcised Gentile that speaks against the army of God? And the king heard him, and he said, I'll tell you, king, I'll take him on. And the king said, let me do this. Let me just... Here, let me put a helmet on you and a coat of mail, and let me give you a sword, and let me put some brass shoes on you, and let me put this big old this and this big old that. And David stood there, and he said, I've not proved these. I don't feel comfortable with this. And he took it all off and went forth with that which God had prepared him. And slew that giant. He put it off. He just, this doesn't feel comfortable to me. You ever been in that position? Ever been in that position? Now you think about this. This is how it works. This just doesn't feel comfortable to me. There's just something about this that just, this is dishonoring to my Lord. I don't feel comfortable here. Put it off. Joseph, when confronted with Potiphar's wife, she said, lay with me. Lay with me. Joseph, he fled. This just doesn't feel comfortable to me. Lay aside. Almighty God, the Scriptures promises, the Lord will not allow His people to be tempted above that which they're able to escape. Don't use sin and say, well, I'm just a sinner. I just can't help it. Lay aside, Scripture says, every weight. And the sin, and the sin. Did you notice that? And the sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that word beset means? Attack us from all sides. Surround or hem up the sin which doth so easily. The sin which doth so easily beset us. We have a besetting sin. Every believer. The source and spring of all other manifestations of sin. Here is the sin that all men, they're not exempt. The monster of iniquity. You know what it is? Unbelief. Unbelief. It is the nature of unbelief to deny the substance of things that are hoped for, and to oppose the evidence of things that are not seen. Unbelief tends to make our hearts faint. But for the fact of Christ's prayer for us, that our faith fail not, we'd give up and we'd quit. And we would not finish the race. Ask a believer, and I mean especially one who has met with great difficulties, has been called upon by God's grace and providence to suffer for the sake of Christ. One that's gone through some stuff. Ask him, what's your greatest enemy? What has disturbed you most? What has disheartened you most? What is it? I promise you, you'll hear without exception those that know Him. I'm talking about those that know Him. He'll say this, the evil of my own unbelief. Peter in the water, this is exactly what the Scripture says. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And the Lord caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why'd you doubt? I had something happen today. I was sitting in that chair right over there. And I just gotten through writing these notes, asked God. Got a call from one of my children. And one of them told me something. And I'm telling you, I just, that quick. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Man, I went through 100 miles an hour. Jeff, in my mind, trying to figure out, now this is how I'll handle it. This is what I'll do. I'll make this phone call, and I'll do this, I'll do that. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I stopped. And I thought, I have just finished preparing this message. Doubt. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. What's the remedy? What's the hope? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. There's a race set before us. Joy was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Him. The cloud of witnesses is not the object of our faith. They are examples of the sufficiency of God's grace. We are encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. But the object of our faith is Christ. Our eye is not fixed on many, it is fixed on Him. Men will disappoint you. It's not on the army, it's on the leader, the captain of our salvation. He is the one who has begun and completed the course of unfailing, unfailing faith. Looking unto Him, He endured the cross and made a shame. That word, despising the shame, it means He made a shame of shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our Savior, appointed and sent by the Father to be our Redeemer, our representative, our ransom, and our mediator. He's the author of our faith. It's not in us by nature to believe. He's the author of it. And He's the finisher of it, the completer of it, the perfecter of it. That's what that means. And this He does by His grace to us. He dwells in us by faith. He leads us by drawing our hearts away from the things of this world and fixes our heart upon Him. I tell you what He does to a believer. He makes him lonesome for His fellowship. Lonesome for Him. Longing for Him. Hunger after Him. Thirst after Him. Great cloud of witnesses. We're in a race. Run with patience the race that's set before you. The path is ordered. Run with, lay aside. Do you have a desire to? You that know Him. You do. This excess baggage that I'm so by nature, I'm just grabbing after all the time. Put it aside. Lord, grant me the grace to keep me from that. Keep me from that. Lord, let me hunger after You, not the things of this world. This world passing away. And the sin that doth so easily beset me, unbelief. Oh, God, forgive me for that unbelief. And you know, I think the older a believer gets, the more he sees of that. The more he sees, Lord, I need You every hour. This is the Lord that we remember tonight. Remember.